This evening we are blessed with the presence of Reverend Deacon Saju Varghese. Somnathan is currently serving as the youth minister of the West region of our diocese. And at this time, I invite Somnathan to lead us in the devotional message for this evening.
Barakamar, grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and forever. Amen. My dear Achins, Chamachins, brothers and sisters in Christ, I give glory to God for this opportunity to speak. I give glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit for his mercies, for bringing us together this evening and to meditate upon a few of the words from his Holy Scriptures. The passage that I wanted to bring to our attention today, in the midst of this season of Pentecost, in which we remember the nature and we continue to renew ourselves according to the vision and mission of the church that Christ set forth. Let us look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. This past Sunday we read the gospel in which Jesus was approached by his opponents, who claimed that he healed and that he worked according to the devil, Beelzebul. Christ then spoke about unity against division, and then he finished this response, talking about the Holy Spirit and the power of forgiveness, that those who blaspheme against the Spirit can never receive forgiveness. In light of the passage of division and this past weekend in Miami for our diocesan family conference, the theme of division and discord, bitterness and resentment, this theme or this idea became very prevalent throughout the discussions with the youth. That in many cases our youth were suffering, that they were bitter, that they were confused about how we as a church that lives in the Holy Spirit, that partakes of the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, how we can live in such discord, how we can live without harmony, without peace, and without love. Looking at the context of this passage from Philippians chapter 2, St. Paul is sitting in a prison in Rome, and by threat or under threat of execution, he writes a letter to the Philippians. And the reason I chose this passage and this epistle in particular is because St. Paul is absolutely in love with this community. If you read any of his other passages, he has very strong words, harsh words, against the things that these communities are doing wrong, their practices, the faith, the beliefs that they are not doing in accordance with the apostolic tradition. And yet in Philippians, his words are effusive in love and praise for them, for being of one mind, for being in harmony, for promoting and growing in the love of Christ. And so we see this passage as a reminder to the Philippians, saying, continue. If any comfort, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy fulfill my joy. You see the closeness of the relationship between St. Paul and his community, that he has continued to give thanks and give joy to them, even in the state of his imprisonment. And then his words are, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, when St. Paul says this, he says this knowing that we are humans, that the people of Philippi are humans, and yet he continues to encourage them, knowing that they are all individuals, to be of one mind. In our context today, in our world, in our churches, within our community, and throughout our diocese, we must learn to have this one mind. And then St. Paul continues to talk about what the nature of this one mind is. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Every generation we go through, we see the splits, we see the violence against each other. And yet, in the first century, when these things existed as well, the message was the same as it is today. Let nothing be done in ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. And then St. Paul continues, and I know in most of our Bibles we have a little subheading, which, of course, St. Paul never wrote subheadings. Because St. Paul explains that this way to humble ourselves, the way to look at how we should interact with our community and our society, within our church, is that let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And then he talks about how Christ emptied himself, lowered himself to the point of the cross, and that it was in that humility, in that selflessness, that he was raised and glorified, that he was exalted. And so the formula, if you will, remains the same, generation to generation, how to be of one mind, how to be in accord, is that it is not through selfishness, but through selflessness. And any complaint that we have about this person being selfish, that person being selfish, anytime we discuss our own self-preservation, we simply need to look to Christ, because that is what St. Paul did in the first century. He looked to Christ and said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, as we continue our walk in Christ, we must move from selfishness to selflessness. It is in selfishness that we find pride, that we find this ambition, this conceit. And yet Christ to the cross lived in obedience and humility. In his incarnation, he humbled himself. And as the Father's right, he condescended by becoming man. And this condescension became the pattern and the model for us to follow. So yes, we are all individuals. Yes, we all have our own mind, our own reasoning, our own thought pattern. But it is through the humility that leads us to offer ourselves and to sacrifice. It is through the humility that allows us to look not only for our own interest, but also for the interests of others. This is the model that we as a church must follow. And we cannot wait for others to do this first, because we look to see if anyone else is doing this, and then we can respond, no. We are called to lead. But Christ did not wait for his apostles. He did not wait for the Pharisees and the scribes to be selfless. He was selfless and gave his life up for it. And that is the model that we are to follow. So during this time of Pentecost, I pray that we continue to move in this direction, away from our own selfish ambition and conceit, and that our hearts may be filled with the love and joy of Christ, that by becoming humble, by becoming selfless, by looking at the interests of others first, that this discord and disharmony, this lack of unity and this pain in our church may be reconciled, and that Christ may provide us healing, and that our church may truly reflect the life of the Holy Spirit. I thank God, and I give glory to him for this opportunity and for his life-giving body and blood. May his name be praised and blessed, now and forever, unto the ages of ages.